I think most of our listeners who are live music fans over 25 can remember the not too distant past when there were a number of local pubs and clubs in the area where it was possible to check out new artists. Now, sadly, hardly any remain, and those that do, most are content just to book an act that specialises in cover versions, which is severely limiting the chances of local original artists getting their music across in the live environment. Now, it may not seem important, but artists and David Bowie and our biggest local success, The Cure, would not have become the legends they are if it was not for the grassroots venues at the time that were prepared to give them the opportunity to play their music to others and develop their presentation. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program Sybil Webb, and she's going to be talking about the independent venue week, which will be taking place in a number of small venues up and down the country, running from the 23rd to the 29th of January. Good morning, Sybil. Are you there?
Good morning, Del. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us. Now, can you explain the idea behind the Independent Venue Week?
Yes, Independent Venue Week. This is our fourth year now, and I just felt that there's so much work and effort goes into putting live shows on at grassroots venues up and down the country, and nobody was really acknowledging that. So we felt it would be great to capture what happens in a venue across a week and shine a spotlight on it. And make that into a national event. So we set up 3 years ago. This is our fourth year coming up, and it's a chance for the public to celebrate the work that the people that own and run the live music venues do week in, week out.
So how long have you been going now, and how did it all sort of come about to get started?
Well, this is our fourth year, so we've had 3 years. The first year we were deliberately quite small. It's an extremely small team, and we wanted to make sure we did very well, but didn't overstretch ourselves. So we had 17 venues up and down the country, and it was such a big success, and people enjoyed it so much that we opened it up to as many venues as wanted to take part, and we jumped from 17 to 91 venues from year one to year two, so it was a huge leap there. And we covered a whole lot more of the country. And by year three, we'd gone up to 109 venues. And we've been very fortunate in that we've had the support of some great musicians who've taken on the role of ambassador. So in the first year, we had Colin Greenwood from Radiohead. And the following year, we had the extremely hard-working Frank Turner, who gigs prolifically. And then last year we were lucky enough to get Wolf Alice, who, unlike Radiohead, are a much smaller, newer band, but so they're only just now coming out of playing that grassroots venue circuit. And so that brought a completely different take on the week. And this year we've been very lucky to be joined by Tim Burgess from The Charlatans, who, you know, for over 20 years has been playing live music and started out in a lot of the venues that we're working with this year.
That's excellent. Now, back in my day, there appeared to be almost like set circuits for bands. They started off with like a small capacity of about 100, and then it'll be maybe 300 to 500. And eventually, those bands that made it through would end up at places like Wembley, Brixton, or even the Rainbow back in my days. Now, famous bands like Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, the Ramones, Talking Heads, they all passed through small venues in Croydon at some point, and even Jimi Hendrix played pub gigs there. But sadly, this has been eroded, and you know, I feel that there's so much undiscovered talent out there who are struggling against the endless wave of media support for a few chosen acts. So this particularly annoys me when such a well-hyped band is given a prime slot, say at a festival, and yet they seem to barely have enough material for an hour and no stage presence whatsoever. So do you think that venues signed up to Independent Venue Week understand the importance of giving artists the platform to progress?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of what we're about. And we, you know, there are issues around the industry, both for venues and artists and awareness. But actually, Independent Venue Week is very much a celebratory week. So, you know, whatever else is going on and whatever niggles people may have, we say this is a week where you can go to a venue and see a really great band. You know, people work really hard to open up these venues and run them. They don't do it for money and they don't do it for recognition. They do it because they're really passionate about music. And they know, as do the artists, that you can't become a live artist without cutting your teeth and learning your trade somewhere. And you're not going to do that in a bigger sponsored academy. You're going to have to do that in your local venue and bring as many people down as you can. And
yeah,
the people that own and run those venues know that it's, you know, it's likely that for a lot of acts that are just starting out, they're not going to get a sellout show. So, you know, there's a relationship there between the venues and the artists and the local community that needs supporting. Everybody needs to be, you know, mutually helping each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, and most small artists have various horror stories of venues that are not being equipped for them to perform. But looking at the list of venues that you've got signed up, most, I would say, if not all, look to be certainly committed to a regular programme of fresh live music. So I guess the question, obviously, is would you like to see more and more getting involved?
Well, we've exceeded our target this year. We set out to sign up 120 venues, and we're now at 148, which is extraordinary. And I think, if there are people out there that have had horror stories of venues, and, you know, that is the extreme minority. That, you know, there have been venues that have closed down, and some of them really should have closed down. They're not well run or well equipped. But, you know, there is a big move to ensure that, the venues that we tend to work with, they know what they're doing. These are not just back rooms in pubs. These are people who are dedicated music venues or have a dedicated live room, so they understand, and they have people in there that know how to own and operate equipment and to support artists. And I've managed bands before. I've owned a venue, and you see people coming around on the circuit, and the relationship between the crew and the artists is hugely important. And so long as everybody knows what they're doing, then you'll end up with a really good night.
That's great. So I'm sure you've had some great memories. So what's been your biggest highlight to date then?
I don't think I can nail it down to one, actually. It's extraordinary because it now takes us a full year to pull this together. So by the time the week itself comes round, it's just so great to be out on the road that every show seems like a massive, you know, a massive buzz for us because it's been so long in the planning. You know, I think it's been great to get the ambassadors that we have. Having Colin Greenwood in the first year was a huge boost because the project was just starting out then. This week I'm really looking forward, or next week as it is, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Witches in Birmingham. I'm particularly excited about seeing Richard Hawley at the Trades Club in Hebden Bridge. That's a show we've been trying to put on for three years.
That would be a great little gig.
It'll be amazing. That sold out in record time. I think the Saturday sold out in 10 minutes, and I think the Sunday sold out in 2 minutes. So, you know, by the same token, what's equal as exciting is going to a venue I've never been to before and seeing a band I haven't had the chance to check out because we've been busy planning this, and just and being wowed by something that, you know, I wasn't expecting or hadn't even thought about. That's, you know, that's kind of the magic of going to a gig, you know. Yeah. That you don't always know how it's going to be, and you come away elated.
So, I mean, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's the whole point of it. Now, I'd like to point out to listeners here that I am personally involved in this year's event. And as you know, Sue, what I'm working on behalf of Attitude is Everything. And we're looking at accessibility for deaf and disabled music fans. So we're looking specifically at how smaller venues can help make easy adjustments to allow fans to understand what kind of experience to expect, even if it's just explaining their access information online. Because sometimes a minor change may make a huge difference. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? We started working with Attitude is Everything in year three, and it was a really exciting project. We'd worked with an artist called Chris Halpin, who goes out under the name of Winter of 82, and he uses the Mimu gloves that Imogen Heap uses, so he can create soundscapes with his hands. He pre-programs the gloves, and depending on how and where he moves his hands, different sounds will come out of the gloves. And that's been particularly important for him because he's an artist with cerebral palsy, so he has restricted motion for some of his performances. He still plays keys, but this allows him to have a much wider performance with his music. And he toured a few venues last year, and we documented what was happening there, and you know, he spoke about his experiences. This year, as you say, we're working with yourself and a couple of other people, so Mel Barber up in Manchester and Hannah in Liverpool. And what we wanted to do with Attitude this year was look at what it was like from an audience point of view to go to a gig with different needs, whether they're access needs. And I think what we've been able to do this year, because the platform is so big and covers so much of the country, we've been able to speak to venues and say, you know, are you aware that actually, I think from a venue point of view, when you talk about access needs or disability, the first thing they think about is wheelchair ramps. But that's only one part of it. And as you just mentioned, what can be a huge help is for people who own and run venues to put information up on their website about accessibility and what's available. So we've been doing quite a bit of work this year with the three of you and more widely to make venues aware of what they can do that makes access much simpler. And we've also been working with an organisation that produce an access card. And the card is a credit card shaped card. It has lots of different symbols on. And depending on what your additional access needs are, you'll have those symbols on your card. And we're now encouraging venues to display those symbols for the facilities that they can offer people that need them. And we'll continue to work with Attitudes Everything and with the access card, and also with an organisation called Stay Up Late, who run a Gig Buddies scheme for people with learning disabilities who need they need a companion to go to the gig with them. And we've done that now for 2 years. This is our second year with them. And I think that we'll continue to work with all three organisations and more as we come across them to just make gigs more widely available to everybody who'd like to go, whatever their additional needs are.
That's brilliant news. And I mean, the whole thing is great because it's good for artists, it's good for fans, you know, of all capabilities, if you like. And we all love music at the end of the day, so that's fine. So there we have it. Now, the bad news for us locally, if you want to get involved and see some live music during Independent Venue Week, you're going to have to travel to Guildford, Brighton or South London, as we have nowhere locally at the moment. Now, we do have a few venues, but I'm personally shocked that our local towns, and they're big towns, in North Sussex and South East Surrey, are not offering more outlets for a fair number of excellent performers that are struggling to build a fan base from scratch out there. So I've got a personal plea here. Come on, guys, let's see if we can get a few venues involved and maybe signed up for next year. So anyway, that's my rant over. So Sybil, where can listeners find out more about what venues you've got available and the shows that are taking place?
Well, yep, unsurprisingly, the website is independentvenueweek.com and all the information is there. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to find out any more information, you can go to those places. It's all covered thoroughly across social media with partners that we have like Help Musicians and Arts Council England and Vauxhall and PRS. So there's a huge amount of information out there that will allow people to see where gigs are happening.
That's brilliant. Look, Sybil, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us here. I know you're very, very busy.
My pleasure. Yeah, I am, but that's great. Thanks very much for having us, Bill.
Okay, so I hope it's another success and I'm really looking forward to being part of it. Thanks again.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Well, there you go, that's Sybil Bell there from Independent Venue Week.